the Cuban doctors and the Venezuelan oil. Millions got medical care, millions tilled the soil of Venezuela. Bush began the sanctions, Obama imposed more, a slow-burning, destabilizing economic war. Following the formula of the Chicago Boys team, used in many places to make economy scream. Oil prices plummeted, foreign holdings locked, invasions being planned, negotiations blocked in Venezuela. From the Haitian Revolution to Venezuela today, from the Seminoles to Salvador Allende, look at their ankles, you'll see the chains, imperial vampires, open veins, those who stand up to the business elite, who cannot stand to see the workers in the driver's seat in Venezuela.
And welcome back to Guerrilla Radio. Well, activist, journalist, author, and legitimate BAU disruptor Eve Angler is in BC next week presenting the failure of social democracy, NDP support for militarism and imperialism. He's written a dozen books, Eve has, 11 of them being on the perfidious history of Canadian foreign policy. The latest is Canada's Long Fight Against Democracy, co-written with Owen Schock. Eve's tour will land in Victoria February 16th, cross the strait to Powell River on the 17th, and down to Surrey and Burnaby on the 18th and 19th before heading inland to the Okanagan for Kelowna's Friday, February 20th event. Welcome back to the program, Eve.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Well, it's always my pleasure. You know that. Well, Eve, Bianca Mugyenyi's attempt to enter the NDP leadership race has been thwarted by the infamous anonymous NDP vetting committee. In Bianca's case, the committee belied all progressivism, determining she was not an independent agent, but merely a proxy, if you will, for her husband. You, do you have a comment?
Well, it just kind of confirmed what we already knew, which is they framed the exclusion as just about me, and they focused all the stuff on I said this or that, but it was as much about excluding a left insurgent campaign that has a comprehensive platform, capitalism can't be fixed, onward to a socialist future, that went outside of the bounds of sort of NDP social democracy, NDP foreign policy. And so Bianca doesn't have any of the, easy to malign, disruptive, whatever that they targeted at me. And so they just went with, she's not a serious candidate. She's just a proxy. In a certain sense, there was a truth to it in that she was taking up the mantle of a campaign that has hundreds and hundreds of people who've spent significant energy on it, has thousands of people who've backed it, and the NDP want nothing to do with it. They want nothing to do with anti-imperialism in the race, and I think that the exclusion of Bianca was just confirmed what we already knew, but it made it even more in your face and kind of crass.
Well, and it seems, too, that along the lines of this sort of leave it to Beaver, father knows best 1950s sensibility, the NDP, too, seems determined to resurrect the spirit of that age, or some would say McCarthyism. You've written an article called Some in NDP Duped by Notion of Leadership Security Clearance. Again, it doesn't seem enough to have this three-person a star chamber deciding behind the curtain which direction the party's going to go. They want, some at least, are calling for even a stranger incarnation of their party choosing mechanism. You want to talk about that?
Well, it's the launch-off point was a Reddit discussion where they basically said, should the leadership candidates, this NDP Reddit discussion, saying that should the leadership candidates get a security clearance, participate in the race, which would just be taking things one step further than this unelected secretive three-person vetting committee that has all this power to decide who members can select. And it obviously suggests an incredible level of trust in the intelligence agencies that don't deserve that trust, certainly from the perspective of those who are challenging power, who are challenging Canadian foreign policy, who are challenging billionaire ecocidal capitalism. And quite frankly, it doesn't fit with the history of what we know of RCMP, other intelligence agencies targeting like luminaries of the NDP, like people like Tommy Douglas or J.S. Woodsworth, who themselves were targeted by the security apparatuses. Now, an NDP Reddit discussion is one thing. How much backing that has is sort of up for interpretation. But what kind of, I'd seen this thing in Reddit 5, 6 days before writing the article, and then what kind of pushed me over the edge to actually write the article was a parliamentary petition that Charlie Angus, a former longtime NDP MP, considered the sort of leader of the resistance to Donald Trump, where he was posting this parliamentary petition that basically was saying all party leaders need to have this security clearance and got to make it mandatory. He wasn't going quite as far as the NDP Reddit people, but he was going a pretty big step in that direction. And you know, the notion that somebody who's into, you know, challenging U.S. power in Canada, or specifically Donald Trump, right now, the notion that you would strengthen the hand of the intelligence agencies as part of your resistance to potential U.S. annexation or U.S. power in Canada is just completely disconnected from the close ties, I would say, the subordination of Canada's intelligence apparatus, specifically the Communications Security Establishment, which is Canada's NSA, and CSIS, which are the major contributors to the Five Eyes, the US-led UK, Australia, New Zealand, Canada intelligence sharing alliance. The notion that you sort of give all this trust to these intelligence agencies and talk about kind of resistance to US power is just, I don't know what to say to someone that, you know, who's saying that. But this also fits with the whole NDP taking up the foreign interference angle, which was something the Five Eyes was really pushing, and this notion it's, you know, Chinese power in Canada is the threat, when of course U.S. and you know, Israeli power is far more, their interference is a far greater issue. So that's, I think, you know, some of the context. It speaks to this sort of very contradictory kind of thinking on the segment of the left. Charlie Angus may be the preeminent example of that, where he's, you know, very anti-Trump but totally pro-NATO proxy war. Charlie Angus, of course, backed, as the whole NDP did, the 2011 NATO bombing of Libya. And he's sort of frames militarizing Canada as being an anti-Trump endeavor, even though it was Donald Trump in the US that's been pushing for Canada and NATO to increase military spending. But he sort of reframes the increased military spending as sort of an anti-US kind of endeavor. So there's a lot of kind of contradictory positions on some of this sort of NDP world, the left nationalist world, and the notion again of you know, reinforcing these intelligence agencies that have been a linchpin of undermining left movements, undermining anti-war movements, undermining unions, undermining, you know, challenges to capitalism is definitely not what the NDP should be doing.
Well, Charlie doesn't want it just for the NDP. He wants it for the whole of Parliament. And in his parliamentary petition, he says, and you cite him in your article, quote, "Canada faces increasing national security risks in a complex and shifting geopolitical landscape, and the Canadian Security Intelligence Service, CSIS, warns that political parties, elected officials, and candidates are potential targets for foreign interference. Can we be give Charlie the shadow of a doubt here, or that he is aiming this at the Americans and all the interference those foreigners have in Canadian policy? Is this his cunning way to ice out the American influence on Canadian politics?
I don't think we can do that, because he has been a supporter of the whole foreign interference as a China kind of angle. And I'll be, you know, really clear. I mean, right away, there was right when I announced that I was running for the leadership, there was an aggressive effort by the Israel lobby in Canada to call on the NDP to block my candidacy. They got events shut down, an event in Toronto, then an event in Waterloo. And so, you know, whether these entities were working directly on behalf of the Israeli embassy in Ottawa, probably not. But they are clearly working in conjunction with the Israeli state. And so, you know, that would have been, if you were taking the foreign interference question seriously, that would have been, you know, something to raise. But there was no defense of my campaign's, you know, free speech rights from people like Charlie Angus when these Israel lobby forces were doing that in September, and that continued kind of all through the campaign. So no, I think it's there's maybe an element. I mean, part of it is just partisan. Is he's targeting Pierre Poilievre, who didn't get the security clearance in the way that that the Trudeau government wanted, and part of it is that. But I think it is it speaks to a more fundamental politics of trust in these U.S. empire-aligned intelligence apparatus that really doesn't warrant that trust, certainly from a progressive standpoint.
Well, you mentioned Tommy Douglas being investigated and files on him being kept. Would you, if Charlie's rules or petition was granted today, would you be able to cross that bar? Would you be able to get clearance?
No. I have no doubt that I would be excluded from the NDP leadership race and or any potential of running for public office if CSIS had to determine whether I was viewed as trustworthy to defend what they were, you know, national security. I think it's pretty clear that I would be excluded. And I quite frankly, I think there's a decent chance that, you know, some current sitting NDP MPs like Aliyah Ghazan might not even cross CSIS's threshold. And as you know, you know, Tommy Douglas, there was a huge fight over the files that were had on Tommy Douglas, the release of that from the RCMP. And, you know, someone like J.S. Wordsworth, a founder of the CCF, was jailed during the Winnipeg General Strike and accused of sedition. So, you know, there's lots of, I know that even Avi Lewis's grandfather, David Lewis, who is known as being an anti-communist, a quite aggressive anti-communist, you know, even kind of engaged in some of the McCarthyite activities himself. He had there was quite extensive surveillance of him because he was sort of, you know, still kind of in the social democratic, or maybe call it democratic socialist kind of world, at a time where anybody close to those movements were, was, you know, viewed as a Soviet agent. And Tommy Douglas, the profunct, the prominent functionaries of the Communist Party, that was an internship plan the RCMP had on the books from the early 50s until, I believe, 1983. Tommy Douglas was one of it was 16,000 people who were directly associated with the Communist Party, and another 50,000 who were considered associates, that the plan was to intern all these people if there was some sort of national security threat. So, you know, Tommy Douglas, the leading icon of the NDP, you know, he would have potentially been interned for his, seditious, his treasonous, whatever the exact definition the RCMP had. And so, yeah, again, it doesn't make much sense, even from a narrow partisan NDP history standpoint. I wouldn't even shock me to find out that that Charlie Angus wouldn't pass one of these. It depends on how much latitude CSIS thought they had. But if it's up to CSIS, the parameters of political debate in this country would get pretty narrow.
Well, that would be the irony. But of course, that's what always happens when you open those kinds of doors. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Eve Engler. Eve's an activist, journalist, author. Countless articles are at his website, eveengler.com, and essays detailing Canada's long, dark foreign policy history. He's written a dozen books on the subject, almost. The last is our latest one, Canada's Long Fight Against Democracies. And Eve is going to be on tour. He's going to be landing out here in the West, in this city, Victoria, February 16th. He's going to be in Powell River on the 17th, Surrey and Burnaby on the 18th and 19th, and then in the Okanagan in Kelowna, Friday, February the 20th. This to promote his event, The Failure of Social Democracy, NDP Support for Militarism and Imperialism. Tell me, this isn't just sour grapes, Eve.
No, it's not just sour grapes, though we do want to maintain attention on the fact that the unelected three-person vetting committee excluded myself and Bianca from the race. But I think that the big picture is that we're in a moment of remarkable upheaval in the imperialist order. And we have Mark Carney pushing incredible militarization, incredible increase in military spending. Mark Carney himself is even admitting that, the international rules-based order is questionable. And while, of course, not actually doing anything to shift gears, or doing very little to shift gears on Canada's contribution to the US-led empire. So these are questions that should be part of the NDP leadership race. Bits and pieces of them are entering, because I think, what we're seeing with like Cuba right now, where Trump is just pursuing this kind of out of control starvation, bring Cuba to its knees kind of policy. And you have yet to hear anything from Carney on, critical of that. And certainly we're many steps away from what Canada should do, which is immediately deliver oil. The NDP is starting to criticize on some of this. It's very weak. It's far too cautious. But I think this, the dynamics are so needing of challenging on these foreign policy issues. So the discussion is going to be focused on that, and that's how the NDP is responding to Carney's policies, and then also the history of how the NDP and CCF, for that matter, have basically backed Canadian imperialism. And we're building towards the NDP convention. We're building to have a presence there, but then we're also going to have a presence after, and we're going to
Will they allow you in the room? I mean, while you've been running for the leadership of the party, they wouldn't even let you in for tea and crumpets or anything. But how can you get access during this?
That's an interesting question, but we're going to try to press that matter, and we're going to see
I
what,
bet.
where they're going to go with that. And that's part of the challenge at the convention. And I think it's important, as a political and educational exercise, to keep pushing this, right? And to show this is how anti-leftist this party is, right? They don't have any problem with, Thomas Mulcair, right? Thomas Mulcair was a minister in Jean Charest's liberal government here in Quebec, and then he became leader. There's an acceptance of, liberals, and they accept the more right. When I've written about this, Stephen Guilbeault, when he stepped down as a minister in Carney's government over Carney's horrible climate policies, there was talk about him maybe joining the NDP leadership race. The NDP would have accepted Stephen Guilbeault, they were almost for certain. They're willing to accept, further to the right, and liberal party types, but they then put up this like hard block on people who put forward socialist platforms. So it's important for people to see that. And it's important, quite honestly, there's a big segment of the left that's gotten behind the Avi Lewis campaign. That's, I mean, in one sense, understandable. He's better than the two other main options, Rob Ashton and Heather McPherson. And he's made some, by NDP standards, fairly bold proposals and suggestions. If you want any of what Avi Lewis is calling for to actually become part of the NDP policy, let's assume Avi wins, you want any of the, challenge the grip of this vetting committee, you need forces to the left pressing this matter, right? So there's people, I actually think that if you want much of Avi's campaign proposals to ever become NDP policy, you should be backing our challenge to the NDP's sellout to capitalism and to the billionaires and to the US empire. So I think that is part of what we're doing, but there's also a significant discussion in our campaign. It's a little bit premature, I think, still, a significant discussion about what comes after the convention, what's possible in terms of setting up maybe a new party or just a network, the Socialist Organization of Canada or the Eco-Socialist Organization of Canada or the Anti-Imperialist Eco-Socialist Organization of Canada. I don't know, the name question, but basically this energy that's been unleashed with this campaign, a platform that was hashed out by quite a large number of people. It was 45 people directly, but it's actually even more than that, that spent months crafting this platform. This is a basis for a serious long-term or at least medium-term political structure of some sort. So that's all kind of part of this discussion, and that's what these events are in part doing. And I also should mention that the timing of these events is based upon the fact that the NDP is having a debate on February 19th in Vancouver, and I think I should still be part of that debate.
Well, the NDP, they could instead follow Andrew Cohen's advice if they want to really threaten America and assert Canadian independence. Go nuclear. We could get some nuclear weapons. What do you think about Andrew Cohen's suggestion that Canada nuke up?
I don't support that. I go in the opposite
But
direction.
does the NDP support that? It might touch a lot of bases for the current leadership. They might draft Mr. Coyne into leadership. He certainly has all the right flags in his ex Twitter profile.
Yes. I could see someone like Charlie Angus getting behind the nuclear proposal. I think obviously we should be going in the direction of the treating the prohibition of nuclear weapons. We should be going in the direction of demilitarizing rather than enhancing. And Coyne, in his piece on last Saturday, he also was calling for, I don't know if the nuclear bit was in that piece, but he's also calling for Canada to set up a CIA type MI6 foreign focused intelligence agency, because CSIS still has some kind of restrictions on that. And he frames that in this kind of like anti-Trump way, but all this would, in practice, unless there's some fundamental shift in how the Canadian military or intelligence apparatus functions, all this does is gives more to the US empire, right? That's the right, like, amidst this, the annexation threats. As The Economist posted on January 20th, Canadian soldiers are still fulfilling Donald Trump's orders, right? Like, be that on Maduro, the campaign in Venezuela, be that on the deportations to El Salvador, and even they had the Canadian general who was readied, who was when Trump, the Alaska division that they were going to potentially deploy to Minneapolis to crush the anti-ICE protest. It was the Canadian general, part of that unit, that was could have potentially even been deployed there. So This is like the most basic of stepping away from the US empire, of just like putting a pause, not even an end, a pause on the officer exchanges, so the Canadian soldiers are not like, assisting the 30 bombings of Somalia that's already happened this year by the US, right? Putting a pause on these officer exchanges, or on the joint naval deployments like the Operation Caribe, where, probably assisting the US role in the Caribbean. But they won't even do that. And so yeah, the nuclear question is, as a Foreign Affairs article pointed out, there's actually a push by some segments of the US foreign policy establishment to have Canada and Germany and Japan go nuclear, which is probably why the former chief of the defense staff came out about a week ago on the front page of the Globe Mail backing that proposal.
Eve, we're out of time. Can you reiterate quickly your stops on your tour? I mentioned they begin in Victoria on the 16th. Can you flush that out in our last minute?
Yeah, Victoria on the 16th, Powell River the 17th, Surrey on the 18th, the 19th in Vancouver, or in Burnaby in the afternoon, and then the 20th in Kelowna. And you can find this information on, I don't know if I put it on my own website. I will put it on my website actually just after this, but also it's on some Facebook groups and in the E for NDP leader campaign. I believe it's on the website there already as well.
That's eveangler.com, Yves Engler, Engler.com, eveangler.com. No, it wasn't up there. I looked this before we started talking. Well, thanks a lot. It's the failure of social democracy, NDP support for militarism and imperialism again, or still. I'll parenthesize at the end of that. Thanks a lot, Eve, for coming on, and good luck with the tour. We'll see you in Victoria on the 16th. I want to thank also Alison Bodine, her book, Revolution and Counter-Revolution in Venezuela. Find it at battleofideaspress.com. That's all I got for this week. Until the next time. Thanks again, Eve.
Thanks a lot.
The skies are growing darker. The air is thick with haze. The sun looks orange in the distance in these terrifying days. The fire lines aren't holding like they did before. And no one seems to know exactly what's are increasing. Camps are being built. What once was creeping is now rushing on full tilt. I'd likely just stay home if you weren't coming too. And even though I'm not sure what we're going to do, every call to unity has